Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Wisdom Wednesdays. Today I want to talk about, for me, a very, very concerning research paper that has just been published in the British Medical Journal. And it turns out that lots of people, including lots of children, are engaging in health behaviors that are far worse for your health than smoking 20 cigarettes a day. This is all about ultra-processed foods. And if you're a regular listener, you'll not be surprised that I'm talking about these in a negative fashion, because there are heaps and heaps. I probably have at least 60 to 70 studies on my computer about the health risks of ultra-processed food. But this study published in the British Medical Journal, the title is Ultra-Processed Food Exposure and Adverse Health Outcomes, Umbrella Review of Epidemiological Meta-Analysis. So this umbrella review is where they look at a whole bunch of studies, a whole bunch of systematic reviews and meta-analysis that have studied large amounts of people, and they review them and they look at the quality of those studies, and then they pull all of the data together. And this study was beautifully designed, really, really well designed. I'm not going to go into too many of the details because it'll bore you senseless, but they identified 45 unique pooled analysis, and this was basically observational studies done on around 10 million people, 9,888,373 people. And they looked at exposure to ultra-processed foods and 32 different health parameters that included mortality, cancer, mental health issues, respiratory, cardiovascular, gastrointestinal, and metabolic health outcomes. And then they did these pre-specified evidence classification criteria. And this is where they grade the quality of the evidence. So the class one is called convincing evidence. Then you have class two, which is highly suggestive. Class three, which is suggestive. Class four is weak. And class five was no evidence. And what they found was that there was convincing evidence that increasing the amount of ultra-processed food in the diet by 10% led to a 50% increase in cardiovascular disease-related mortality. It also increased the risk of diabetes by 12%, and increased the risk of anxiety by a whopping 48%, and increased the risk of combined common mental health disorder outcomes by a whopping 53%. Now, that was all convincing evidence. Then they had highly suggestive class two evidence that indicated greater exposure to ultra-processed foods was directly associated with higher risk of all-cause mortality, a 21% increased risk of death by anything, and a 66% increased risk of heart disease-related mortality, a 40% increased risk of type 2 diabetes. Remember, there was convincing evidence of a 12% increase in type 2 diabetes and highly suggestive of 40%. And then depressive outcomes, a 22% increase in depressive outcomes, as well as a 41% increased risk in adverse sleep outcomes and a 55% increased risk of obesity. And there was other evidence as well, which I'm not going to go through. But what this paper also did was it looked into what are the potential mechanisms. And there's a number of different potential mechanisms at play. The first one is that you're obviously eating a diet that has got lots of nasty stuff in it. And the main one, too much sugar in it, but also salt and all the unhealthy fats, which everybody knows is not good for you. The second one, and linked to that, is that the diet is of low nutrient density. Because what happens is when you're eating these foods, you're crowding out healthy food. So it's a double whammy. Not only do you get shit food and all of that nasty stuff in you, but that crowds out of your diet lots of healthy stuff from fruit and vegetables and from fresh grass-fed meats as well, and other things, and all of these polyphenols and flavonoids and all of those things that we now know are so important for our metabolism. The third thing is that these foods are essentially pre-digested. So they actually alter our digestive processes. They alter our nutrient absorption ability, and they change our satiety. So they reference something that I have talked about before, a randomized control trial where they took a bunch of people and they split them into two groups. Half of them went on a diet that had ultra processed foods, and it wasn't McDonald's and stuff like that. It was things like protein bars, snacks, but also pre-packaged meals, right? So not as bad as you would think it could be. The other half had a diet that was matched for fat, carbohydrate, protein. And basically they then said to him, you just eat whatever you need to feel sated. And the people who had the ultra processed food diet ate 500 calories a day more. And then they did a crossover, whereas after 2 weeks, they crossed over their diets. And the same thing happened when the people went from the healthy diet to the ultra processed, they ate 500 calories a day more. So what happens is these things absolutely change our satiety because these nutrients are pre-digested. We also know other mechanisms is that they light up the reward pathways in the brain much more than normal foods because of these specific combinations of fat, salt, and sugar, any two of those three. Now, the fourth mechanism that they identified was these potentially dangerous additives, things like the emulsifiers that make this stuff feel amazing in your mouth, the wide variety of flavors and sweeteners, and also the preservatives. And we now know that all of these things disrupt our gut microbiome. And I'll give you just one example. So a lot of supermarket breads have got something called propionate in it. It's a preservative. So if you look at an artisan sourdough loaf, it is fermented for 24 to 36 hours. And that fermentation process of the sourdough actually is a natural preservative. Whereas supermarket breads, because they accelerate processing of the dough, what that means is that they have to add in a preservative, and they use propionate, which is a known insulin disruptor in both mice and in humans as well. So that's just one example of the preservatives that are in of these crappy foods. And then the fifth and final mechanism, which is linked to that, is significant changes in the gut microbiome. And we see that people who are obese, who have diabetes, who have autoimmune disorders, have significant changes in the gut microbiome. And you'll have heard of me talk about this before. But for me, this is really concerning, particularly if you live in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, because we are five of the worst countries in the world of ultra-processed food consumption. And in all of those countries, it's got to be at least 50%. And we know for sure in the United Kingdom and the US, it's more than 50% of all foods are ultra-processed foods. The data from Australia was in 2008, and we know it was 42% then, and it's been increasing. And so the big concern for me is the amount of kids that are eating just crappy foods in the diet and stuff that people think is actually healthy. And I've talked about this before a lot. There's a continuum of ultra-processed foods in terms of their evilness. But there are stuff that people think is healthy, like supermarket breads and breakfast cereals, which the vast majority of them are not healthy. And as I said, there is a continuum. But even things like protein bars and stuff that people think are healthy are actually not healthy. They've got a lot of these added foods and they are ultra-processed in their nature. And the concern for me is really about the kids, because we know if you get metabolic dysfunction when you're young, you set yourself up for metabolic dysfunction for the rest of your life. And the same with mental disorders. If you get mental health disorders when you're young, you're much more predisposed for the rest of your life. So this should be a wake-up call for everybody out there about that these health risks are really clear. They're now, for me, as clear as smoking cigarettes. And everybody will say you'd be bonkers to do that. Yet large amounts of our diet, and particularly our kids' diet, are composed of these foods. And the thing that makes it worse is that these foods are ubiquitous in our food system, particularly in those countries that I mentioned. And they're very, very hard to resist because they taste good. And that's why kids and teenagers will gravitate towards them, because they actually hijack the reward systems in our brains. So it is particularly hard to avoid them. And particularly if they are in front of you, if they're in your house, you are much more likely to eat these foods. Your kids are much more likely to eat these foods. And it just sets up behavioral patterns around food that can become embedded for long periods of time, if not a lifetime. So for me, the key takeout here is it is hard to change your diet. It's really hard. And it's really hard to change kids' diets, particularly if they're used to these foods. But I tell you now what is much harder. What's much harder is getting cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, anxiety, depression, or any of those other things that we talked about. And what's even harder than that is watching these diseases develop in your kids. So the key thing here, ladies and gentlemen, is choose your heart, because there is no easy in the long term. That's it for this week. Catch you next time.